I'm Gus Lloyd. Thank you for joining me on Seize the Day. It's the Catholic Channel on Sirius 159 and XM 117. The National Catholic Register and their website, www.ncregister.com. Maybe the finest Catholic publication in the U.S., maybe even in the world, maybe even of all time. And Tim Drake of the National Catholic Register joins us once again this morning to fill us in on what's going on in the Register. Tim, I might add, at this insufferable hour. Little bit of an inside joke here. Let me just explain that, if I may. Tim has an article on the blog site at ncregister.com called "The Register's Radio Voice." Let me just quote it. My first stint with Gus Lloyd was January 7th at the insufferable hour of 5:40 a.m. Central Time, 6:40 a.m. Eastern Time. So sorry to keep you up at this insufferable hour, my friend.
That's all right. I get an early start on the day, which is wonderful, you know.
Nice turn of phrase, though. Let me just say, I like that. A nice turn of phrase, the insufferable hour. What time do you typically get up there, Tim?
You know, I usually get up between 5 and 6 in the morning, so it really is not so bad.
All right, good. So you were just using a bit of hyperbole there,
right? I was.
That's okay.
If there's any suffering, I'll offer it up. So.
Well, thank you very much. Tim Drake of the National Catholic Register is with us this morning. You guys got everything covered. Love the publication, always have. And the website looks great, by the way. I know that you guys recently updated your website, and it looks really good. Let's get down to the brass tacks here. Talk about some things that you're talking about in the Register. The biggest story, I suppose, is the election of Scott Brown to the U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. Tell us your take on that, Tim.
Yeah, well, I think everyone is shocked. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is the shock of what happened with Ted Kennedy's seat there. I mean, this is a state that, I mean, when is the last time that a Republican has held a seat, you know? So it's shocking, of course, but then when we look at the direction of the Obama administration, I think there's just a great number of people who are responding to that with their vote.
Sure. We were having a conversation yesterday, and I'd love to get your take on this here, too. Tim Drake with the National Catholic Register with us this morning. And we were talking about the victory of Scott Brown. Now, from a life perspective, because that's really the thing that we're most interested here anyway,
yeah.
Scott Brown is not the perfect candidate. In fact, he has come out and said that, you know, he's, while one may not couch him necessarily as pro-abortion, his position is that that's a decision between, a woman and her doctor and her clergy person, et cetera, et cetera. Was this just the case of a lesser of two evils from a life standpoint?
Well, I think it could be that in some ways. I mean, it really is an irony, isn't it, that you had an election in which you had a Democrat who said that she was she Catholic? You know, but yet she was stating these things against Catholics, and then pitted against a Republican who, you know, I think he's against partial birth abortion.
Right.
But that's about as far as his pro-life convictions, if you will, go. So just what an ironic situation, really, in some ways. Is it the lesser of two evils? Well, perhaps that, but it's also this larger question of what's going to happen with this health care reform bill. And I think this ties in well, too, with what's going on tomorrow, the March for Life. I think we're going to see probably one of the bigger turnouts we've ever seen at the March for Life because of this very same issue. So many people are concerned about abortion coverage in the health care reform bill that I think there's going to be more people there than we've seen in the last couple of years.
I hope so. We're going to be there. In fact, I'll be broadcasting live from the March for Life tomorrow from noon to 2 p.m. East. Now, I understand that you personally, Tim, are not going to be there, but certainly the Register will have someone there, right?
Yeah, the Register is covering it, and I do not know the writer who is going to be there. I'm going to be actually down at the March for Life in the Twin Cities that starts at the St. Paul Cathedral and then moves over to the St. Paul Capitol. But yes, the Register will be there and will be reporting and actually probably even blogging from the event as well.
Outstanding. Tim Drake, National Catholic Register. Their website, by the way, is ncregister.com. So what else is on the website that we need to know about today?
Well, you know, the thing I wanted to talk a little bit about what else is going to make this March for Life different. I don't know if folks are aware of it, but there are some things that are taking place this year at the March for Life that have not happened before. One of those is a rally this evening, a flashlight rally that they're holding at the White House. They actually got a permit, and 3,000 marchers will be allowed into Lafayette Park there. And they're having a rally that's going to include prayer and songs and a presentation on the life principles. And Nellie Gray, who's the founder of the March for Life, is going to be there. And so this is something that's never been done before as part of the March for Life. So this is a first. And then also those who can't make it to Washington, D.C., have the ability to join the march, if you will, virtually. A website called Virtual March for Life, where participants can sign up. And to date, I believe some 23,000-24,000 individuals have signed up online. They can also, kind of an interesting tie-in here, they can choose their own personal avatar, if you will.
Nice.
And that avatar, it will be depicted somehow at the rally. I don't exactly know how they're doing this technologically, but kind of an interesting concept for those who can't make it all the way to Washington, D.C.
Wow, how 21st century is that, huh? So if you cannot make it to the March for Life, your avatar can at least be at the March for Life. I know on our Wii game, I think they're called Miis, but same concept there. Wow, very, very interesting stuff. You know, I'm looking forward to this. Now, last year, Tim, I think they said that they were that they had somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 people. I know the weather's going to be a little bit dicey this time around. They're calling for a high of about 35 and kind of a snow rain mix, so it might be a mushy kind of day in Washington, D.C. But you say you're expecting a really big turnout, huh?
I think so. And then what I'm basing some of that on is, you know, this year, I think I counted at least 15 Catholic colleges that are sending students there to the March for Life. And what's interesting is that at least three of those schools, let me just find them real quick, they are Christendom College, Franciscan University of Steubenville, and Magdalen College. Those three schools close entirely. One of them has what they call an academic holiday.
Right.
To allow all of the student, the entire student body, if they want, may attend the March for Life. But so at latest count, there's at least 15 Catholic colleges that are sending students to the March for Life. And those who have attended the march in the past few years have noticed how the predominant number of people there are younger, you know.
Yeah.
This is the face of the pro-life movement.
And that, you know, I think as people see it, and we'll find out, I guess, how this is covered in the fingers in quotes here, mainstream media, although I don't think that the quote mainstream media really has the power that they once had, what with so many other media outlets now. It'll be interesting to see how this is all covered in the quote mainstream media. But like you say, I think it's very encouraging that the trend is skewing younger at the March for Life. We'll be seeing whole families come out, as you mentioned, Tim, whole universities and colleges, high schools, and all coming out and joining us in this peaceful pilgrimage, if you will, to stand up for defenseless human persons in the United States of America. Tim Drake with us from the National Catholic Register. Well, listen, we run out of time here, but I did want to mention, too, you again will be at your March for Life in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, right?
That's right, up in St. Paul at the state capitol.
And there will be other Marches for Life all around the country. I know I was talking to Bob Dunning yesterday, and he'll be part of the March for Life that's going to be happening in San Francisco. So if you can't make it to D.C., check your neighborhood to find out if there's a March for Life near you, or perhaps be a part of that virtual March for Life. Tim, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Gus.
You're very, very welcome, and sorry about the insufferable hour, buddy. Tim Drake with us this morning. Here on Seize the Day on the Catholic Channel, Sirius 159 and XM 117. I'm Gus Lloyd. Don't forget, check out their website. Fantastic stuff always is. The National Catholic Register. It is ncregister.com.